Good morning, everyone in Brussels. This is Roger Clark in Canberra. Bonjour, guten Morgen, or in good Australian, g'day. Thank you very much for your invitation to provide some brief comments on the key issues that I see in e-government areas. At slide two, I'll suggest that we need some focus on communications between individual citizens and government agencies. Many agencies, like many corporations, use poorly designed web forms to create barriers, and many of them fail to implement adequate backup systems. What people want is to be able to use email and synchronous instant messaging interfaces, and they expect agencies to respond and to manage cases professionally. So empirical research is needed into the perceptions that citizens have and that agencies have about electronic communications, inquiries, feedback and complaint channels. And we need experiments and demonstrators and open source packages to establish good practice, to enable it to be adopted easily and quickly by agencies, and to cause embarrassment to agencies that fall short of expectations. At slide three, I'm turning my attention here to the means whereby citizens can discover information and services that are available from governments. The term portals continued to be used, even though portal is a term for the private sector. It's about a first port of call for captive net users. It's about controlling eyeballs and generating revenue. What we need in e-government is entry points. Entry points enable citizens, consumers, to discover and access information and services, no matter which agency provides them, and without the citizen having to first understand the current fashions in public sector organisational structures and naming conventions. In order to make progress with this, we need case studies of effective entry points, and again, models, demonstrators, and open source packages. At slide four, in a follow-on to that previous long-standing question of entry points, I'm looking at the question of freedom of information because it's been such a disappointment over the last couple of decades. It was early on reduced to a mere right of access to identified documents, and its spirit's been widely ignored. But the digital era has greatly changed public expectations, and agencies now need to move to the concept of electronic FOI. In order to do that, we need research to assist agencies to break the culture of secrecy, to develop in its place the norm that every document is written with the expectation of public access. We also need research into extensions of content management systems to provide automated publication of most government documents. At slide five, I draw attention to the need for much more work on privacy-enhancing technologies, that's PETs as we commonly call them. Anonymity exists, and it will exist, and it has its place, but because anonymity works against accountability, I refer to technologies that enable it as savage pets, hence the pleasant picture of a small tiger. At slide six, what I'm suggesting is that we need technologies that represent gentle pets. The distinction here is that a gentle pet is targeting pseudonymity rather than anonymity. But further, at slide seven, we need to go at least a little way into this question of gentle pets. They will only be credible, and they'll only be adopted, if they include, firstly, technical features that protect the link between identities and the people behind them, but secondly, also legal protections, and thirdly, organisational arrangements to create barriers to prevent unauthorised glimpses behind the veil. At slide eight, I'm moving on to some myths in the authentication and identity management industry. For many years, there's been a great many of these myths which have been seriously detrimental to e-business as a whole. There's many types of assertions that need to be authenticated, and in most cases, identity is not the key issue. Instead, it's some assertion of fact that matters, or an assertion that value has been transferred, or that an identity has an attribute, such as age or qualifications, or the legal capacity to represent some entity, such as a company or another person. Now, in circumstances where authentication of identity is relevant, we have further problems because many organisations conflate identity with entity, and they fail to appreciate that most people have many identities, and that many identities are used by more than one person, and entirely legally as well, of course. Now, there's also a whole host of misinformation that's been perpetrated about biometrics. Most biometric technologies don't work in the real world. They embody extraordinary threats to freedoms, and they offer remarkably little benefit to security in general, and especially to counter-terrorism. At slide 9, I've offered here a diagram that shows the distinctions between identifiers, which of course relate to identities, and what I call entifiers, because there's no available word for this concept. And entifiers distinguish instances of entities, which could be pallets, could be packages, could be companies, and of course can be individual human beings. This diagram also helps us to grasp the concepts of anonym and pseudonym and where they fit. And we need a great deal of technical research to clear up this intellectual mess that the information technology industry has made in the authentication, authorization, and identity management arenas. Finally, at slide 10, I've offered a couple of thoughts on technologies to support e-democracy. Of course, there are benefits in real-time e-polling, but complex issues cannot be assimilated by the public as they stand at a bus stop or flick through their email. Straw polls will be beneficial, but for simple questions. Simple questions like, how credible is that political statement that I just heard? Complex issues, on the other hand, demand considered opinions based on multipartite discussions. What we can do is to build on our experience with focus groups and with formal submissions from interest groups in order to develop various forms of deliberate e-polling techniques. But this requires more than assertions by mere pundits. It demands technical research, and it demands social research into the application of experimental designs. I hope these brief comments have done two things. I want to convey a sense of public dissatisfaction with e-government, which conflicts with the cozy sense of progress that's prevalent in many government circles, but I've also sought to offer suggestions about some directions in which research funding could be valuably deployed. Thank you very much for your invitation.